John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10 and a very wonderful passage of Scripture. We could say that about every passage we open. John 10 is one that stands out, no doubt. When we hear the Lord say some wonderful things like, I am the door. And in our text today, in our message today, I am the good shepherd. God says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Today's message is simply titled that, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is, in fact, the good shepherd. Now, we can understand John 10 without its context, but it's very important we do take consideration of the context. And what is it that spurs on John chapter number 10? I'm going to tell you something really profound. John chapter number 9. That's what spurs John chapter number 10. But in John chapter number 9, something wonderful happens. There's a Jewish boy, man, who has never seen a day in his life. He's blind, always been blind, and Jesus heals the blind man on the Sabbath day. You remember that? Well, instead of all the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders of the moment in the presence that knew the man that was blind from his birth and now could see, instead of them being excited and happy about it and willing to honor whoever it was that did this great work, what do? They get angry. They hate Jesus so much that they cannot rejoice when Jesus, God in the flesh, does such an amazing miracle in the life of this man. It's sad, isn't it? And so, when we come to this passage of Scripture, John chapter 10, Jesus is literally contrasting Himself with the men, the folks who the Jewish religious leaders who have ultimately, at the conclusion of John chapter 9, they have literally cast the blind man out of their religious fellowship because he's been healed by Jesus and he won't deny that Jesus healed him. Can you imagine that? And so in John chapter 10, Jesus says, first of all, I'm the door. And when he talks about being the door, he's talking about being the door to the sheepfold. He is the door to the sheepfold. He is the authentic, actual access point to the flock of God. He says there's other folks that are thieves and robbers. He said the thieves and robbers don't come through the gate. They climb over the wall. They steal and kill and destroy. He said, I'm come, they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. And then, in our text today, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he contrasts the fact that he's the good shepherd with this group of religious leaders and anything or anyone else that drives or tries to steal people away from the true Christ. He calls them hirelings. Look with me as we read God's Word together. John chapter 10 and verse 11. The Bible says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and he is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law? I said, Ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him. But he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. We come to this passage of Scripture, and we see very plainly in the Scripture, Jesus says in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. Father, I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. Help me to exalt your dear Son. Lord, I pray that the word of God would rule in our hearts, that you would meet with us in this meeting. Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would convict us of our need of a Savior. And for those that are saved here in our congregation today, that we would be reminded again of how good it is to be a sheep in the fold of you, our good shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we come to this passage of Scripture, the Bible says, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus is contrasting himself from the other Jewish leaders, the other folks who had a heightened, heavy-duty opinion on life, death, and eternity. And so Jesus looks at this group of people. He says, Now look, I am the door, the actual access point to the flock of God. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. He says, I'm in contradiction to the folks, the Jewish leaders, who have just cast a blind man out of their religious fellowship because he would not deny that Jesus had healed him. Jesus says, I'm in contrast to those folks. They are thieves and robbers. I'm the door. He says, they are hirelings. I'm the good shepherd. And so it leads us to ask this question. Who, from whom, and from where do you get your philosophy for life, death, and eternity? There's one good place to get it, and there's a gazillion bad places. You meet lots of people along life's journey who have certain philosophies about life, death, and eternity. The default by our nature is good and bad. You've been hearing this from the pulpit of the Joy Baptist Church for 100 years or more. The contradiction between the way men think that good works outweigh bad works, and if our good works outweigh our bad works, then somehow by our good works we can please God. But we know that that's not how God has designed us. Is our good works ever good enough to outweigh our sin nature? The answer is no. And so for more than 100 years, from the pulpit of the Chilean Baptist Church, folks have been preaching, hey, listen, For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there's a lot of folks, no matter how many times you talk about the fact we're saved by grace through faith, not by works, they're still somehow depending on their religious exercise to get them to heaven. And when we meet this Jewish community in John chapter number 9 and 10, what trap have they fallen into? Here's the trap they've fallen into. A group of smart-ish, think they're smart men throughout the course of the last 400 or 500 years have put together their ideas in regards to the law of God, the books of Moses, and they have absolutely made miserable the lives of the people who are following them for spiritual guidance. Scribes, the Pharisees especially, as we've studied them through the New Testament, the Pharisees had come up with all their special rules and regulations and interpretations of the law. And they said, you have to dress this way, you have to act this way, you have to talk this way, you have to do this, this way, at this time, or you'll never, ever, ever please God. And that's why the message of John the Baptist was so freeing to so many people. John the Baptist, he just got up and told everybody, he said, look, you know down deep in your heart, as hard as you've tried to keep the law, you can't. He says, repent and be baptized. And the honest people who heard John the Baptist preach that there was coming one after him, that the Messiah was coming, that there was coming one who could forgive them their sins, the honest people who heard John the Baptist preach, they said, I don't know what to do with my sin, but I know I'm a sinner. And John the Baptist began that moment freeing these people, this Jewish people, from the bondage of their religion to the freedom of just simply acknowledging that I'm not good enough to please God, but God has somehow, by grace, provided a way that I can be forgiven. So, from whom or where does your philosophy of life, death, and eternity come from? Maybe it's your family. Folks, I want you to know something. I love my family. But I can't allow my family to be the ultimate authority on matters of life, death, and eternity. Maybe it's your experience. And I have some. And so do you. But I'll have you know something. Your experience and your experiences do not have the authority necessary to trust your eternity with them. Maybe it's your heritage. You puff your chest out and say, I'm a Baptist. I mean, I started coming to the Baptist church when I was in the seventh grade. I'm thankful for the influence of Chilliwack Baptist Church, but ultimately, that's not my identifying factor. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm saved by grace through faith. I believe the Bible's the Word of God. Am I a Baptist? Yep. But I'm not going to depend on Baptists and Baptist heritage and Baptist history, because I've met Baptists along the way that are dirty, rotten scoundrels and other denominational folks are the same way too. My heritage, I'm thankful for it, but I can't stake my soul and honestly, to me, more importantly, the souls and future of my children and yours on my heritage. I can't stake the future of my soul and other folks on me either. So what do I do? Jesus is bringing a message to this group of people, to anybody that would listen. He says, listen, I want you to know something. Those guys, those Jewish leaders, he says they're thieves. Do you think that they went around thinking, ha, 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 I'm a thief? No, I think they deceived themselves. But they were thieves and robbers. And Jesus said, they're not shepherds leading and feeding and providing like I am the good shepherd. They are hirelings. He said, I want to show you a few things that prove that that's true. The first thing we pay attention to this morning is the fact that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Point number one to this message, I am the good shepherd, is I am the good shepherd. Look at the Bible says, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What was Jesus willing to do? Jesus was willing to give his life for the sheep. As a matter of fact, not only was he willing to, but he did. He gave his life for the sheep. Now, that set him apart from the hirelings. Now, what was the great concern with this group of men who had just cast a blind man out of the tabernacle, out of the temple? What was their great concern? Their great concern was, if Jesus is the Christ, then we are going to lose our authority and our place and our prominence. They had a temporal view on life. And they said, oh man, if Jesus is the Messiah, then everything we do and everything that makes us valuable in this world and society is going to go away. If they were concerned ultimately about the sheep, they would have said, whoa, this is the shepherd. We better point our sheep to the good shepherd. We've done our best for as long as we can, but our job now is to point them to Christ. But that's not what they were concerned about. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 12, he is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. If you remember back in chapter number 9, the blind man's parents, when they were asked by the Jewish religious leaders, what? Is this your boy? Has he been blind from his birth? Did Jesus of Nazareth heal him? They said, yes, he is our boy. Yes, he has been blind from his birth. In the matter of Jesus healing him, you'll have to ask him, he's of age. We're not answering that question. The Bible says the reason they didn't answer it, because they were scared to death that the Pharisees, the Jews, would kick them out of their religious fellowship if they said they believed in Jesus. It's awful, isn't it? It's awful. They were so scared that they would be disowned by this group of mean-spirited religionists that they wouldn't even answer for their son and acknowledge that they believed in Jesus. Folks, I want you to know something. That's not the spirit of the good shepherd. That's the spirit of the hireling. Because when the wolf comes... Now listen, if those folks would scare their followers when Jesus came on the scene, what else would they be willing to sacrifice the sheep for? That's the difference between knowing Christ by faith as Savior and being a follower of Christ. We, as a pastor, I'm not here to point you to me. I'm not here to get what I can get out of you. My job is to step out of the way and point you to the good shepherd. Because it's the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life for the sheep. This is kind of fun to me. As Jesus Christ enters the scene, we enter a new dispensation. In the Old Testament, in the Mosaic Law, shepherds, because of their sin, had to offer a sheep as a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, sheep died for shepherds. In the New Testament era, the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, dies for the sheep. Isn't that sweet? He's the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. Verse number 12, the hireling, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep, fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling, verse 13, fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Ultimately, the hireling, those Jewish religious, they weren't concerned about the sheep as much as they were concerned about themselves. And I want you to know something. That's pent up in the nature of all men, and that's pent up in the nature of all preachers. That's why it is absolutely necessary that the preacher does not point the people to himself as the shepherd. I am the shepherd in some sense of this flock, but I am not the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And I must constantly point people to the place where they can get the help, the unskewed, untainted, sinless Son of God. Because as much as I want to shepherd this flock that God has given me the oversight over, I cannot effectively do that unless I'm pointing you to the actual shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. In contrast, the hireling does not own the sheep. I am bought with a price, and so are you. We leave, the hireling leaves and flees and careth not for the sheep. What does Jesus do? In verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. What does he do? Again, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. Just for the Jews? No. He said, just in case you're wondering, Jesus, all through his earthly ministry, gives us these little nuggets to point to the fact that he is exclusively the Savior of the world. He's exclusively the Savior, not exclusively for the Jews, but exclusively for the whole world. He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, the Jews, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. What does Jesus do? He lays down his life. He lays down his life. What did Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, do for us? He died on the cross. He took our sins. He bore our penalty. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Did Jesus care more about himself, or did Jesus care more about his sheep? He cared more about his sheep. And he is therefore the good shepherd because he laid down his life. Not only is he the good shepherd because he laid down the life, he's the good shepherd because he was also able to take it up again. You see, we see in the fact that he's our good shepherd that he died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't just stay dead. The Bible says in verse number 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What did Jesus do? Not only did he lay down his life for us, but he took it again. What's that mean? That means he rose from the dead. He's the good shepherd. The only good shepherd. The only good shepherd ever. The shepherd of our souls is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose again victoriously. He rose again. He says, I am the good shepherd. Does everybody just, when they hear that Jesus is the good shepherd, does everybody say, wow, that's wonderful? I'll follow him. I'll believe him. I'll trust him. No, because look what the Bible says in verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? What happened? There's a group of people who believe, there's a group of people who didn't. But it does not ever change the fact that Jesus is the good shepherd. The second point is this. I know my sheep. Over and over again in this passage of Scripture, he makes it clear that he knows his sheep. In verse number 14, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. In verse number 22, we pick up here, the Bible says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. There's like 3 or 4 months transpire here, but the same thought continues. Verse 23, Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. They said, we want to hear it plainly. Just tell us. Use plain words. He's already spoken very plainly about who he is. They said, tell us plainly. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. What's he say? He says, all the miracles I've done, they bear witness of me that I am who I said I am. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. Ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. What does he say? He says, you're not my sheep. You know, there's lots of folks who want to believe everybody's Jesus' sheep. But everybody is not Jesus' sheep. You see, this group of Jews that we look back to in chapter number 9, the ones who did not believe, who refused to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, were not his sheep. The Bible says, though, that Jesus knows his sheep. You have the opportunity to be one of his sheep. We should yearn and desire to be one of the sheep in God's flock. The Bible says in verse number 27, my sheep. I like that phrase. My sheep. I'm so thankful. When I put my trust in Jesus Christ, I became one of his sheep. And when Jesus looks at Cody Sturgill, not because Cody is a perfect lamb, because I'm not, I'm blemished in so many ways, but when Jesus looks at me as my good shepherd, he looks at me and he says, that's my sheep. Isn't that good? That's my sheep. Not only is he my sheep, but I know my sheep. How many of you ever came in contact with somebody and you were surprised to know that they knew you? They called your name. They said your name. And you were surprised to know that they knew you. And when they knew you, it was just a blessing to know that they knew you. How many of you ever experienced something like that? It's really nice to know they knew me. It's happened to me a few times. But I'll tell you, the most important time it ever happens is just to remember that the God who created the universe knows me. And he loves me. He knows me. Look what the scripture says. I love it. My sheep hear my voice. You know, that's wonderful to be. When you're a child of God, you can hear the voice of God. God will speak to your heart. God will speak to your heart. It won't be audible, but he'll move in your heart and in your spirit with a still small voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you willing to follow the voice of your shepherd? Oh, you should. The Bible says in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. What does he give us? Our shepherd gives us eternal life. Boy, I love that phrase, eternal life. If you ever want to just take a deep breath and sigh of relief in regards to your future, remember what your shepherd has done for you. If you're here and you're saved, he has given you eternal life. Life. What does God do for his sheep? What does Jesus provide for sheep? Eternal life. If it is conditional, you cannot say, God gave me eternal life. God's given us eternal life. It's not a conditional statement, it's a fact. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. When will I perish? Never. This is something that's been encouraging to me lately. Do you know that God's people never see death? A saved person never sees death. You see, when we close our eyes and breathe our last breath and our heart beats for the last time and we close our eyes in death, what's the child of God see? Death? No. The child of God closes their eyes to die and never sees death. They open their eyes in the presence of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does God give us? What's our good shepherd give us? He says, I know my sheep. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Who has the power to take me out of the fold of God? No one. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says, they're in my hand. Jesus says, they're in my Father's hand. And then he says, real plain, verse 30, I and my Father are one. What does he say? He says, I just want you to know something. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Then this passage of Scripture concludes like this. If Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is, if Jesus is the good shepherd and he knows his sheep, and he does, then the ball ends up in our court to a certain extent. We must believe. When Jesus said in verse 30, I and my Father are one, do you think the hirelings, the thieves and robbers, were like, oh, that's great to know? Nope. There's a little more contention. The Bible says in verse 31, Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. By the way, let me tell you something. If someone questions you and the way you believe and your reaction is violence, you don't have a spirit that pleases the Lord. Even if you're right about your stance, you are wrong in your spirit, and God can't use that. But these men were angry because they had heard the truth and they would not submit to the truth. And if you get angry because you will not submit to the truth, you are hurting yourself. What were these men doing? They wanted to hurt Jesus because they wanted to shut him up because they were thieves, robbers, and hirelings. But what were they doing? They picked up stones to stone Christ, but they were only condemning themselves and anybody that followed them. The anger, you see, and the Bible says in verse 32, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" He says, "I've done all kinds of good works. What good work do you stone me for?" I love the Lord's candid speech. "I've done all kinds of good things. Which one do you stone me for? You still upset about me a few months ago healing the blind man on the Sabbath day?" And they answer in verse 33. The Jews answered him saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because thou being a man makest thyself..." They were just angry because he said, "I'm equal with God." This isn't the first time he said, "I'm equal with God." As a matter of fact, over and over again he says it. Jesus speaks to them the next few verses from Psalm 82. And he says, the Bible says and calls people Elohim, judges, God. He says, "What are you upset with me for?" He says, "I am the Son of God," verse 36. "I am the Son of God." In verse 37, the Bible says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not." What does he say? I love how Jesus does this. He says, "Listen, if I don't do God's work, then don't believe me." But clearly, over and over and over again, he did. You know what Jesus says to you today? He says, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I raise it up again. I know my sheep. I will give you eternal life. No man's able to pluck you out of my hands. You'll not see death." He says, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I provide these things for you." He says, "Oh, listen, it's fine. If I don't do any good works, if I don't do any godly works, if I've not done anything to change anybody's life, then don't believe. But if I have, then don't you think you ought to believe?" How many of you in this congregation this morning can testify to the fact that the Lord, Jesus Christ, has done an eternal work in your heart? By way of testimony of that, would you just raise your hand? "It's changed my life." You can put your hands down. Folks, I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ has moved in our hearts and changed our lives. And He has proven Himself by His works. And since He has, you know what we all should do? You know what the folks here today who've never accepted Christ by faith as their Savior should do? Believe. Believe. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep." Point number two. Point number three is very simple. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. What happened? Some people were still mad. What else happened? They thought about the testimony of John the Baptist in verse number 40 and verse number 41, and the fact of what Jesus had done and who Jesus was. And the Bible says in verse number 42, it's sweet. "And many believed on him there." What happened? They realized, whoa, Jesus is the good shepherd. And they believed. If you're here today and you're saved and you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, just praise Him that you are in the flock of the good shepherd. If you are here today and you've never put your trust in Christ, there's never been a moment where you repent of your sin and trust in Christ and Christ alone for your soul salvation. by all means, believe on the Good Shepherd that you can have everlasting life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I pray that you'll let the Good Shepherd save your soul. He said it himself, I am the Good Shepherd.